versus Cheney, cause number 18139CV. Can we have announcements from the attorneys, please?
Your Honor, Andy Powell, the appellant, Roy Barrett.
Morning, Mr. Powell. Mr. Barrett?
Jared Lundahl, Kate Bossett for FLE.
Good morning.
Morning.
I think you all were here earlier when we told you about the light system and all the other things. Are we ready to proceed?
Yes, sir. I think
okay,
so, Your Honor.
Very good.
May it please the court, this is a case about traffic signals. I want to repeat that. This is a case about traffic signals. In this traffic signal case, the undisputed evidence shows that the traffic signals at issue were not malfunctioning and were not in defective condition, and therefore there was no waiver of the city's governmental immunity under Section 101-060A2 of the Texas Tort Claims Act. In a futile effort to avoid Section 101-060, the appellee tried to replead her case and attempted to recast her claims such that she tried to say that this is a general premises liability case brought under Section 101.021, subsection 2 of the Tort Claims Act. But the Texas Supreme Court has clearly said that Section 101-060 serves as a further limitation on general premises liability claims that are brought against governmental units when those claims involve traffic signals or traffic signs.
Well, they say that, that it makes that limitation when you have, well, first the initial placement, I believe the term is used, and then the absence, condition, or malfunction that appears in sub A, 2 and 3. If you're arguing that she doesn't satisfy the condition of A2, there's no condition, there's no malfunction?
Right, Your Honor, there's no malfunction.
Okay, so basically 60 has no application either as a limitation of a further limitation of immunity or a modification of the waiver. In your default to go back to the general premises waiver of 021?
No, Your Honor. The reason for that is because as this court discussed in the Belnoa versus City of Austin case, the court should look at what is the real source of the alleged problem.
Yeah.
In this case, Your Honor, as the court in the City of Austin and Belnoa case found, the real source of the alleged problem is actually the operation of the traffic signals and the alleged condition of the traffic signals.
Okay.
In that case, in Belnoa, as the court is probably aware, the City of Austin changed a traffic sign that was a 30-mile-per-hour sign to a 40-mile-per-hour sign. And after doing so, there was an accident. The plaintiffs claimed that there was a condition of the sign that had caused the accident. The court said that in these cases involving accidents with traffic signals involved, that the court should look at the real source of the alleged problem. That was backed up by TxDOT versus Garza, where the Texas Supreme Court quoted Belnoa and said that you should look at the source of the alleged problem. In the present case, Your Honor, the traffic signals were operating as intended in three-phase operation. There was no malfunction or defect. But you can see that the true alleged source of the problem under the appellee's theory of the case was that the signal was in three-phase operation and not four-phase operation. They've clearly said in this case that what allegedly confused Mr. Cheney was the three-phase operation of the signals. So it was.
Well, they'd say more that when they made the change, et cetera, against the backdrop of the prior operation and the way the other signals in the city supposedly worked.
Your Honor, yeah, they've tried to artfully plead out of 101-060. I would agree that they've talked about the timing of the reprogramming of the signals. But
is this kind of analogous to the situations where tree limbs block views of stop signs and that sort of thing? That's not a defect in the stop sign itself or the street light. It's some external thing. They're saying that there's an external factor here that's causing confusion regarding the signal, therefore it would be a condition, as
Your
I understand
Honor,
them.
Respectfully, it's not the same at all. I think it was the Lurie case and also in the Robnett case. I believe in the Robnett case, there was an elm tree that had grown in front of a stop sign. And in the Lurie case, I think there were maybe some bushes or something that had grown in front of a stop sign. And those were actual conditions under 101-060A2 in the sense that those conditions that had arisen over a substantial period of time, obviously, those conditions caused the traffic signs or traffic signals to fail to convey the intended traffic information. And the courts in those cases also held that the cities must have had notice, because obviously if an elm tree grows in front of a stop sign or a large bush grows over time in front of a stop sign, then that's existed for quite some time. So, those are not analogous to this case. That is a condition that would cause the signs not to be able to convey the intended traffic information.
Why isn't this more appropriately under 060A1 rather than A2? I mean, it seemed to me that the allegations are really a failure to warn that the traffic signal pattern has changed, to warn the motorist that there's the new pattern here. Why wouldn't that be A1?
Well, Your Honor, I think that if you're talking about the placement of warning signs issue, I think what you're saying is that they've made the allegation, of course, that there was a alleged failure to place warning signs,
right,
with regard to the reprogramming of the signal.
And that later and there was one added that they say would have prevented the accident.
There was a warning board or warning sign added, you know, a little, I think, over a week afterwards, after there had been a few other accidents that had occurred. With respect to subsection A1, and also really with respect to 101.056 of the Texas Civil Practice Remedies Code that deals with discretionary decisions, the placement of signs such as warning signs and warning devices is something that is purely discretionary with the governmental unit.
And that's what I'm asking. Isn't the real question here not the condition of the sign or the traffic signal, because we don't have any evidence of malfunction? Isn't the question, A, should the city have placed a warning sign, and B, even if that's true, is that a discretionary decision on the part of the city under A1? And only if it's a non-discretionary action would there be waiver of immunity.
Right, and Your Honor, with regard to the question of whether or not the city should have placed warning signs, that's a question of alleged negligence. That's not a question regarding governmental immunity. So, you know, they would argue that the city was allegedly negligent in not placing warning signs at the time that they changed the signal. But that, again, that's an allegation of negligence. It doesn't have to do with the governmental immunity issues that we're raising here. And the reality is that under subsection A1 and also under 0.056, it's a discretionary decision for the city to make. This court in the Wenzel case, which is Wenzel versus City of New Braunfels, I believe. I got it on here somewhere. But Wenzel versus City of New Braunfels, this court held that placing warning signs along a roadway is something that is a purely discretionary decision with the city or the governmental unit to make. So in that sense, Your Honor, I'm agreeing with you. I think that you know, immunity of the city is not waived in this case, because this is a discretionary decision whether or not to do this. Your Honor, with regard to the present case, the real gravamen of their complaint is, and the real source of the alleged problem, has to do with the, I guess, condition, we think, is with the condition of the traffic signals, because obviously under their current theory of the case, the accident would not have occurred, according to their pleadings, would not have occurred but for the fact that the traffic signals have been switched from four-phase operation to three-phase operation. So again, it's about the traffic signal itself. And in fact, the appellee stated during the hearing on the city's plea to the jurisdiction, the decision to go from four-phase to three-phase, and I'm quoting, the decision to go from four-phase to three-phase was a horrendous decision. It is a decision that is clearly negligent. We can't sue the city for that. The city is immune from their bad decision about going from four-phase to three-phase. So the appellee has conceded at the trial court level that there's immunity for the decision to switch these lights from four-phase to three-phase. So I think what we're first of all saying to the court is that when you consider what's the real source of the alleged problem, the real gravamen of the complaint, there's no waiver of the city's governmental immunity. Turning to what they've done after they repled in this case, and they've pled now four times, after they repled in this case, they recasted their allegations, and they tried to say that this should be considered as a general premises liability claim. and which is what Justice Pemberton was kind of, I think, alluding to earlier.
By the way, have either of y'all seen the Spear case that we handed down recently? We talk about 060 a good bit and how it fits in with the broader framework. I was hoping to raise that earlier. Are y'all familiar with that?
Your Honor, I'm not right off the top of my head. I'm not, Your Honor.
We decided it on the 31st of August. It might not be something that showed up on your radar.
Okay.
But that, you know, some of our questions are kind of coming from the analysis in that case. That case involved whether a barricade in a state parking lot was a traffic control device such that the litigant could get the benefit of 060 as opposed to the general licensee standard of proof. But we talk a lot about how the structure of the Tort Claims Act being the three primary areas of waiver and then 60 being a modification of the premises defect theory of recovery. So I was just hoping if y'all need to put in some briefs after we get through here today, of course I don't think anybody would object to that.
Right, Your Honor. Yeah, that might be something that we ought to do
and
look at that case. Your Honor, I mean, I think that you know, even if this, I do think this is a case under 060 based on the way that we understand it, but even if it was under a general premises liability case, there was no real condition of the traffic signal.
And I think itself, the answer is you default to the general premises standard.
Well, I think that you know, the way that we look at it is that that they're really making an allegation that has to do with the traffic signal itself, because that's what allegedly confused Mr. Cheney.
Okay, then you're under 60.
It's not these alleged failure to place warning sign that allegedly confused him. It's not the reprogramming that was done 2 hours earlier in the day and had been completed and was done with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't what confused him. It was the fact that the signal was in three-phase operation is what allegedly confused him. So that's really the basis and the gravamen of their complaint. With regard to their current pleadings, which you were discussing earlier, the reprogramming, as I said a second ago, the reprogramming was not a contemporaneous activity. It was an activity that was completed by 10 o'clock in the morning on the day of the accident. The accident occurred at around noon that day. The city's representative stayed out there and watched the signals, made sure that they were operating as intended in three-phase operation, and then he left about 15 minutes. He left to go get lunch with other people and about 15 minutes before the accident occurred. This was the first accident that occurred after the reprogramming of the signals from four-phase to three-phase. The reprogramming, again, it's not a condition. The fact that it was reprogrammed by 10 o'clock in the morning into this three-phase operation, that's not a condition of the traffic signals that would result in a waiver under 060 subsection A2. The reprogramming is simply implementation of a discretionary decision. And the Texas Supreme Court said in the City of Grapevine versus Sipes case, when the city first installs a traffic signal or sign, is no less discretionary than whether to install it. The court in Sipes was, the gist of the court in Sipes' opinion was that the timing of implementation of a discretionary decision is no less discretionary than the initial decision itself. So in this case, they concede that the initial decision to go to three-phase operation was a discretionary decision. But they're trying to say, well, but the timing of it was a problem because we think it occurred at a bad time of day. And then with regard to the alleged failure to place warning signs, as I mentioned earlier, I think the failure to place warning signs is not a condition of the intersection. It's not a presently existing condition of the intersection either. So neither one of their claims that they have right now regarding alleged failure to place warning signs or with regard to the timing, neither one of those are physical existing conditions of the intersection for a premises liability case, and particularly with regard to 060 A2.
Mr. Powell, you're going to have some time on rebuttal as well, and then we're beyond your...
Your Honor, yes, sir. May I just briefly?
Sure, absolutely.
I want to wrap up real quick and say that with regard to notice issues, under 060 A2, even if there was a defective condition, the city had no notice. And also, I want the court to think about what is the appellee really inviting this court to do in this case? What are they really inviting you to do? We think they're really inviting you to amend the Tort Claims Act and to expand the liability of governmental units like the City of Killeen and TxDOT to say that there's a new legal duty that you need to erect separate warning signs each and every time that a traffic signal pattern is changed. Also, we believe that they're asking the court to effectively repeal 0.056 on discretionary acts, because any time you have a discretionary decision, it has to be implemented at some specific point in time. There's absolutely no limit to what a claimant attorney could do with regard to coming back and criticizing and nitpicking the time that that discretionary decision is implemented.
Okay, Mr. Leventhal is about to jump out of his seat over there.
Yes, Your Honor. So in conclusion, we believe that the court should reverse and should dismiss the appellee's case against the city for a want of jurisdiction. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Powell. Mr. Leventhal?
Intelligent.
We're taking several minutes out of your time for his overage.
I think that's only fair.
I wouldn't give you such a hard time if the courtroom was still full.
May it please the court.
Yes.
I always find it maddening when the people that I sue educate me on what my lawsuit is about. And that's what the city of Killeen has done from the moment we had the temerity to sue them in this case. Judge, you're right. This is not an 060A2 case. Everyone actually agrees. What the city of Killeen has said is it's a classic straw man argument. What they've said is there's no condition. We know there's no absence. We know there's no malfunction. And we know there's no condition of the traffic signal. Consequently, 101060A2 does not apply. It only applies in a circumstance where the injury or death is caused by a condition, absence, or malfunction of a traffic signal. We know there's no absence. We know there's no malfunction. A condition has been defined by the Texas Supreme Court in the Sipes case, I believe, as something that is, quote, wrong with the traffic signal. I think of the 80 pages that City Killeen has dedicated to responding in this matter, 79 of them are dedicated to explaining how there is no condition of the traffic signal. There's nothing wrong with the traffic signal. If there's nothing wrong with the traffic signal, there's no condition, there's no absence, there's no malfunction, then we revert back to 101021.
What about A1, though, of 60?
A1 only applies in the situation where it is the initial implementation of a traffic signal or a device.
Okay.
And 01... 060A1 does not apply here, and
What about in part of your complaint that they failed to put up a warning sign advising drivers underlying hazard?
It is not. But what it is, as you have pointed out, we do mention it because what happened here was the negligent implementation of the City of Killeen's discretionary decision to have these lights in three-phase operation.
So I guess whether you say you're under A1 or the general premises standard, we're fighting ultimately about whether or not this is a discretionary, these are discretionary acts.
Part of this is a debate about whether or not this is a discretionary act, but I also believe that everyone agrees that the decision that Killeen made, that this should be a three-phase signal pattern, to change it from a four-phase to a three-phase, although by all accounts, that was a terrible decision, a reckless decision. That is a decision that they have discretion to make. And they can make, cities can make bad decisions, and they are immune from those bad decisions. But what they are not immune from is the negligent implementation of a decision, even if that decision is discretionary.
So an implementation, is it the warning sign and the timing of the change?
One of the things we have done, although I don't believe it's our burden, is to identify various ways that the city could have implemented this discretionary decision in a non-negligent manner. We don't have to show how they could have or should have implemented this decision in a non-negligent manner. But what we have shown is that the way that they did implement this discretionary decision was negligent. And why was it negligent? It was negligent because the city decided to change from four-phase to three-phase. Why is that important? In the city of Killeen, there is not a single three-phase pattern intersection in the entire city. They changed from four-phase to three-phase at this intersection along 190, Rosewood and CTE, all along this stretch of highway. Every diamond interchange intersection is four-phase. Every single one. For 132 days, this light remained in four-phase operation, and then the city decided during a peak time of the week, a Wednesday, during a period of peak
public use, just like in Flynn, without any advance warning or advance notice, they were going to change from four-phase to three-phase. Doing that was a negligent implementation of their decision. They have the right to change from four-phase to three-phase.
But again, it's either a failure to warn that they're changing it, or it's the timing that you claim or the implementation problem.
I believe that the manner in which that the city of Killeen instituted that discretionary decision was negligent. And it was negligent because they didn't warn. It was negligent because the time of day they did it. There could have been other ways that they did it that was negligent.
Okay, let's focus for a second on the failure to warn. Why isn't the failure to warn under 060A1?
Because this is not the initial implementation. 101060A1 is limited to those circumstances where the governmental unit initially places a traffic signal or road sign. This traffic signal was constructed and placed back in October of 2015.
That's true for the traffic light, but I think he's getting about what if you viewed the warning sign, then it would be, but then I think you get back ultimately to the issue of whether or not that initial, if you view that as an isolation, as an initial placement of the warning sign for purposes of 060A, it would still be a fight about discretion versus implementation of some other policy decision, right?
Right, although discretion is specifically called for in 101060A1.
Right.
I think the case that actually is the one that is most significant here is the Sullivan case. And that is a case where the El Paso Court of Appeals, it is an interesting factual amalgamation. You have, in that case, 101060A2 claims because a crosswalk, what happened was at 7:30 in the morning, the city of El Paso had a certain standard and policy whereby the school guards, the school zones would activate 30 minutes before class began. That was the rule. What happened in Sullivan was the school instituted what they called zero-hour classes. So they started the class day 30 minutes earlier. But what they did not do was trigger or activate the school zone. And so the school zone actually was starting at the same time school was starting. So for 30 minutes prior to the school starting and opening, you had kids crossing in a school zone, yet there was no school zone trigger. A young boy is hurt. And his parents sue. The court in that case struggles with the various claims that are at issue because there were claims in that case under 101060A2. Those were that some of the markers couldn't be seen well because they were in disrepair. Court says that's a malfunction. So under 101060A2, the plaintiff can pursue those claims. Sovereign immunity does not apply. But then the court goes on to say there are some other claims here under 101-0212, classic premises cases. And they have to do, even though we're talking about a traffic signal, even though we're talking about traffic devices, the court says in this situation, because the school zone did not, quote, activate on time, the lights didn't come on, the signs didn't go, because even though those are traffic signs and traffic signals, this is a 101-0212 case. And in fact, the court goes on to say that we also have a negligent implementation here because the policy is that this school zone is to activate 30 minutes before school starts. That's the policy. It was implemented in a negligent manner with respect to this boy because the school zone did not activate 30 minutes out. So you have an 060A2 claim, you have an 0212 premises liability claim, and then you also have a negligent implementation of a discretionary decision. That's all in the Sullivan case. And all of those claims are treated differently, even though it's a traffic signal. And that gets us, we spend a lot of time talking about Flynn. And that is a case that the city of Killeen does not spend a whole lot of time talking about. And the reason is simple. Flynn is a case that really resonates with what happened here. In Flynn, Stephen F. Austin decided we're going to irrigate our shot put field. That's a discretionary decision. They get to do that. But what happens is they decided that they were going to implement that decision by where they faced the sprinkler heads. They were going to shoot water in a certain direction, and they were going to shoot water at a certain time. And the Texas Supreme Court held that while the decision to irrigate the shot put field was discretionary, you had to do so in a non-negligent manner. And with respect to the time when those sprinklers engaged, they should not have turned on during a peak time of public use. And doing so was a negligent implementation of a design decision, and 101.0212 applied. Now, that's not a traffic case. We're not talking about a traffic signal there, but we're not talking about a traffic signal here. The dangerous condition that we are talking about in our case under 101.0212 is a constellation of events that happen at the intersection. And they are the decision to go from four-phase to three-phase. We can't sue on that. That is a discretionary decision. But how that decision was implemented is what this lawsuit is about. It created the dangerous condition. It created the confusion with respect to Mr. Cheney, just like there was confusion in the Sparkman case. I mention Sparkman because if the court believes, as the City of Killeen is arguing, that this is a 101.060A2 case, then based upon our petition, we have already alleged sufficient facts to establish that the City of Killeen has waived immunity in this case, even if we are under 101.060A2. Now, again, I'll reiterate, that's not what we believe this case is about. But if, in fact, we are going to be forced to litigate this case under 101.060A2, then much like in the Sparkman case, I would submit to the court that the condition of the traffic signal in this case, much like in Sparkman, was the confusion that the change caused. Remember, in Sparkman, there is red light, yellow light, green light, classic circle fashion. It's a left turn lane. What happens is the city, an engineer, basically fabricates a left turn arrow and inserts that over each of the three lights. So now there's no more circular light. There's a red arrow, there's a yellow arrow, and there's a green arrow. And Ms. Sparkman drives up and sees the red arrow and is confused because she doesn't know if that's telling her to stop or that she can go left if she looks both ways. And so what she does is, instead of stopping and waiting for the green arrow to turn green, she proceeds into traffic, and there's an accident. And this, and the court in Sparkman, which is a 1975 case, it's an older case, the court says that was a condition because it caused confusion amongst various members of the traveling public. Now, what City of Killeen is going to say is that they're going to obfuscate confusion with notice. And what Sparkman says is there are two issues. The condition is the confusion. We know that there is confusion with respect to the traffic signal and the rephasing in our case. How do we know that? Because the record is clear that in the 6 days following this change, there were 9 wrecks. In the preceding 132 days, there was 1 wreck every 16 days. You go from 1 wreck every 16 days to over a wreck per day when the signal is changed.
It wasn't Sparkman about the fact that there was an arrow pointing in the confusion to the driver of that means I can go left because there's an arrow pointing and there had been an accident already doing the same thing. I mean, doesn't that make it different than what we've got here where the traffic signal's functioning properly? It doesn't appear to be any dispute there was a red light and Mr. Cheney ran it.
Yes, I do agree that with respect to Sparkman, the court defined condition not as something wrong. Because everyone agrees in Sparkman that when the red arrow was red, it means stop. It wasn't malfunctioning. It was doing exactly as designed. But what the court says is, but it wasn't doing what it was intended. And consequently, that's what caused the confusion. And again, our primary position is we're not a 101.060A2 case because there's not a condition with our traffic signal. But if we're going to apply a Sparkman-like analysis where confusion is a condition, of the traffic signal, then we still believe we have already pled sufficiently at this stage, at the plea to the jurisdiction stage, where all of our pled and unnegated facts are to be taken to support the waiver of jurisdiction, the waiver of immunity. We believe we have done enough in this record already. You're going to hear, then, the argument from the City of Killeen, well, we had no actual knowledge. The City of Killeen had no actual knowledge that this was a dangerous condition. Mr. Cheney was the first wreck at this intersection within minutes of the folks from the city walking away, which is true. But we have to remember, in the long line of premises defect cases, Aikens is a case that we cite, if the premises owner is the creator of the dangerous condition, that is sufficient evidence to get to the fact finder on the issue of actual knowledge. And there's no doubt here that the City of Killeen created this dangerous condition.
Well, they create, sure, they changed the light sequence, et cetera. I'm thinking about the Hayes case, the UT bicyclist. There's a distinction between creating factually what happens, a barricade, for example, and knowing it's an unreasonably dangerous condition. Isn't that the fight here? I mean, what's your evidence or allegations that they knew people were being misled and confused and caused to drive out in that intersection?
And I think we look back to what's already in the record with respect to the City of Killeen. We know that the City of Killeen tried to change another intersection from four-phase to three-phase. And as a result, there was a wreck and people died. And the City of Killeen knew that before they made this change.
Previously.
Okay. Not at this intersection.
Right.
Different intersection. They changed it from four-phase to three-phase. And what happened? They did it without warning. I don't know what time of day they did it. But in the record, there is, I believe, a presentation from a City of Killeen employee who refers back to that event. The knowledge is there. They created the condition. It was, as we have heard from the City of Killeen time and again throughout their briefing, this is an intentional action. They embraced the fact that this was a decision that was made. It was not an accident. They didn't do anything inadvertently. They intended to change the signal sequence from four-phase to three-phase. Consequently, they created this condition. Again, if we are going to proceed under 101-060-A2, I would go back and say this is not a 101-060-A2 case because there is no absence, condition, or malfunction. And if those don't apply, 101-060-A2 does not apply. Just because we happen to be in a situation where the dangerous condition, there is a traffic signal as part of the intersection, does not mean this has to be a 101-060-A2 case. That traffic signal was operating as it was designed that day. Turn green when it was supposed to turn green. Turn red when it was supposed to turn red. It was there. This wasn't the first time they installed it. 101-060 does not apply here. 101-0212 does. And it is a premises case. It's a licensee standard. And in the pleadings we have already submitted, we have met our burden to establish that the City of Killeen at this point has waived its immunity. I still have 2 minutes left, but I, as much as I like to hear myself talk, all these foolish people left before seeing the show. So I'm unless any of you have questions for me, well, Ms. Boston,
yeah.
Oh, they put a light. I'm sorry, Ms. Fawcett is correcting me that the prior incident in Killeen was they put a light in without properly warning. There were no warning signs, and there was a fatality at that intersection.
With changing the light, but not necessarily the four-phase to three-phase, or vice versa.
Yes, and it's from an affidavit of one of their people. And one of the things the affidavit says is the traveling public needs to get used to a change in a traffic signal pattern or a new pattern, which is certainly something that all engineering folks in civil engineering and traffic engineering agree with, including the certificate of merit, which we have attached. I will note there was an allusion to the fact that we have amended our petition four times. That's true. We amended the last two times to add defendants into the case. None of the allegations against the City of Killeen have changed. With that, I certainly appreciate the court's time.
Thank you, Mr. Leventhal.
Thank you.
Mr. Barrett, the closer.
Thank you. Not to belabor the point, but there was no other four-phase to three-phase change at Killeen. That was at Bunny Trail, another road where we went from a stop sign to a traffic light.
Okay.
Because there was a mall being put in there. They I don't think this is the crux of the case, but if they could get to a 101 021 general premises liability case, they don't have any evidence that we had any knowledge of a dangerous condition at the intersection prior to this accident. None. And we have put in affidavits that are jurisdictional evidence that shows that we have a warning system when there's a malfunction of the light that would show a double green. We got no computerized notice of that. And we had a person, after we made this change in the sequence of the lights, who watched the lights operate from 10 o'clock until 11:45, and they were working perfectly. And he left, and 15 minutes later at 12 o'clock, Mr. Chaney's accident occurred. So we have no notice of a dangerous condition. And they say, well, the dangerous condition is driver confusion. That's not a condition of real property. That's another problem with their case. But if you accept that the driver confusion from the change is the dangerous condition, it's not a dangerous condition of real property. But if you accept that it is, which is their argument, they have no evidence we had any notice of driver confusion caused by the change from one phase to the other phase. So even if they could make out an 021 case on this being a general premises liability case, they have no evidence that we had notice of this dangerous condition. And as this court knows, and the cases we've cited in our brief, notice of something that can lead to a dangerous condition is not notice of the dangerous condition. The case about the ice machine that's leaking. Well, that's not, you know you got a leaking ice machine. That's not notice of the dangerous condition. The dangerous condition is water on the floor. You know the roof leaks. That's not notice of a dangerous condition. The dangerous condition is the water on the floor. We've cited those cases. So even if you say, well, you know, if you change the sequence of a light, it could confuse people. That's not enough. We have to have notice of a dangerous condition. Again, this is not a condition, but the condition they argue is driver confusion. We had no notice of that. Now, really, what this case gets back to, this is a 101-060-A2 case. It is clearly that case. This court got it right in Balboa, and the Texas Supreme Court affirmed, in effect, this court in Balboa and reversed the 13th Court of Appeals in the Garza case, in the Garza 2 opinion, and followed the lead of this court. And the reason they took Garza 2 was because of a conflict in the opinions of this court and the 13th Court. And what that Garza case says is that if you look at A2, the court says the legislature's placement of condition, quote unquote, in between absence and malfunction in 101-060-A2. It says, you know, when that thing says absence, condition, or malfunction, that's what we retain immunity from the absence, condition, or malfunction of a traffic or road sign, unless you have notice of it and an opportunity to correct. So the court says in Garza, when the legislature put condition between absence and malfunction and coupled it with language that you retain immunity, that makes it clear that the condition must be something that's wrong with the sign, something that causes it not to display the intended message. That's what Garza says. And then Garza says, and this construction is further supported by the fact that we always interpret waivers of immunity strictly. And then the court says in Garza that We interpret condition in the context of road signs and signals, and we find a waiver only in two situations, where the signal is unable to convey the intended traffic control message, or whether when the signal conveys other than what was intended. And then they go over in Garza, here are the times that we have found that. This is a traffic signal case. They can cut it up and down. They can argue it one side or the other. All we did was put in a traffic signal and change the phasing of the traffic signal. What else did we do that caused Mr. Cheney to go through a red light and be hit by two cars? This is a traffic signal claim as to the city of Killeen. Now, where has the Supreme Court found that there is unable to convey or conveyed other than what was intended? It's got to be one of those two things under 101060A2. Well, in Loring, tree limbs and branches. Mm-hmm. What the court said there is when you let tree limbs and branches grow, that means the sign is unable to convey the intended information because the motorist can't see it.
Is that tied to an underlying duty to maintain the roadway that would extend to cutting the trees?
It could be. It could be tied to that, but they didn't decide it on that basis.
Perhaps this is analogous in the sense of just confusion created by the way other signals behave in the city. It would be a reach, but it would be arguably analogous, but I was wondering if the tree limb cases were different also for that reason, that there's some duty on the part of a duty to maintain the roadway that would extend to that.
Well,
part of the city.
I don't think in Lurig it was a duty to maintain the ditch or the roadway, right? Because the guy didn't get hurt by the ditch. He got hurt by not seeing the sign, and he went through the sign. And went through the intersection. Now, what they said there was, though, when you let shrubs grow up in front of a sign, you have gotten into this one of our two areas, which is the sign is unable to convey the intended information or conveys other than what was intended. So Loring is an unable to convey the intended information. You let a shrub grow up in front of a stop sign, the stop sign doesn't convey the intended information. Now, if you look at Alvarado versus City of Lubbock, speed limit sign, 55 miles an hour. That's what the speed limit was erroneously posted at, 55. It should have been 50. So they say here there is liability on the city because you put up a sign that conveyed other than what was intended. If you look at Sparkman versus Maxwell, that's a stoplight where they'd put the arrows over all three of the red, yellow, and green lights. And so then when you had a light, you had green with an arrow, yellow with an arrow, red with an arrow. Well, the red with an arrow was confusing to some motorists because they didn't know whether they're supposed to stop or whether they're supposed to go follow the arrow. And the court said, in that case, the sign conveyed the wrong traffic control information. So it conveyed the wrong information. It failed to convey what was intended. It conveyed to a lot of people, go instead of stop. That's all Maxwell stands for. It falls within one of those two areas. Now, in Garza, on the other hand, the plaintiff was really saying, you posted the speed limit at 45. That's too big a speed limit for this area. It should have been a lower speed. And the court in Garza said, well, that's not a condition of the sign. The sign was conveying the intended information, which the gravamen of your complaint really is. And that's where they went back to Balboa. They go back to this court's analysis. Let's look at what's the gravamen of the complaint. The gravamen of the complaint is, You got too much speed posted there, and that's not allowed. That's not a defect in the sign. And here, that's all they're alleging here. One of the other cases they try to convince you about
Mr. Barrett, we might need to find a stopping point.
Huh?
We might need to find a stopping point.
My final stopping point should have already occurred. And Will Rogers once said, it's never too early to shut up, and I apparently haven't learned that lesson.
I would
but
not
I appreciate the court's convenience.
Thanks, sir. Thank you all for case well argued. There was some mention about the Spear case potentially having application, which is a new case out of this court. And if the parties want to submit anything further, if you would submit something by this Friday, which is the 14th, and then if you want to respond to what the other side submitted, we'll give you to the following Friday, the 21st. So there's your little post-submission briefing schedule on that, should you care to offer it.
Okay, is that post-submission briefing limited just to our analysis of that case?
Yes, sir. Just how Spear applies, if you would.
Yes, we would appreciate it.
And aside from that, the case will be submitted and the parties can be excused. Thank you all.
Apologize for going over, Judge.
Oh, it's all right.